Well, there's no truer words have ever been spoken than that, that, Lord, we can't make it without you. I believe that with all of my heart. I'd like to think today about, and I just ask also for your prayers this morning. I'm just as human as you, and to presume to stand as a mouthpiece of God is a very humbling place. It's a very scary, maybe I should say. You feel trembly sometimes to know that you want to try, and we want the best we know how to honor our Lord. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the August Majesty. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He understands the beginning and the end both alike. He is God. He knows our hearts today. That is both comforting and fearful at times. Have you ever thought, as you go through life, as you go through your day, have you ever come to the realization in your mind, the Lord knows exactly what I'm thinking right now? And we are open to the Lord. Nothing is hidden from Him. And those moments when I'm feeling angry with the people around me, the Lord sees that. Then when I realize that, I say, Lord, I'm sorry. It's good for us to say, I'm sorry. It's good for us to acknowledge places that... And again, I'm not talking about some great decision to do evil. I'm talking about the things that kind of easily slip into our mind and our emotions, our thinking, and we almost accept it as being okay. It's all right to feel that song that was sung first. That was a wonderful song too. Lord, I want to have a heart like you. Because sometimes when I compare my thoughts and the ways that I want to think here, I have to say, Lord, I need some more help. Because it's real easy to be frustrated with all the world around us and allow some things to enter into our thinking that's not godly and not right. And the Lord in His kindness just comes up. He says, I'm here, child. And I say, oh, Lord, you heard that? Yes. I'd like to help you. And I'm really challenged of His omnipresence, by His abiding with me and with us. And when we sometimes, because these eyes don't see Him, we think maybe He's not there, and we can slip off into being careless with life, and the Lord today would draw us near to Him. Last Sunday we talked about a festival, a Jewish festival we take from the Old Testament. And it was about the festival, a Feast of Atonement, called Yom Kippur, is what the Jewish nation calls it now. Yom Kippur. And that was about, 6 or 7 days ago. I forget when that was. But about 5 days after Yom Kippur is another Jewish festival. What we talked about last week had to do with the scapegoat and the atonement, what the Lord did. It was an atonement. It was a time of atonement where the people's sins, they came before the Lord, the blood was applied, they put their hands on the scapegoat, the Aaron did, or the high priest, and let the goat go out into wilderness. And we recognize by all that symbolism of what happened and what the importance of that feast was, what it means to us today. As today we have a lamb. There's a Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And that, as they took that lamb and allowed it to go free out where no man lived, out into the wilderness, that it fled out where nobody could even notice it. And that symbolizes our sins that has been cast as far as the east is from the west. And I rejoice in that today, because sometimes in my memory, I can remember back things that I wish I didn't. And when those flood into my mind, I look back and realize that God doesn't anymore. And I'm greatly encouraged because we have a Lord that willing, He said He's willing to take those sins of our past and cast them as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. And we have a wonderful Savior. And I want to serve Him. Today we have another festival that came up about 5 days after Yom Kippur. And this one is called different in the Jewish language today. And I don't know how to say it. Sukkot? Sukkot? I don't know. I haven't really. Does somebody know who I said? I thought I heard somebody say. But today, there were three festivals, main festivals that the Jewish nation had that were so important to the Lord. He said, I want you, especially all the males, native-born males, I want them to make sure they come to where I put my rest, or where I rest among my people. At this time, it was Jerusalem, where the temple was, or where the, at one point it was where the, where they traveled with the tabernacle. But later on, it was the temple. It was a place where they dedicated that temple to the Lord, and the Lord came down and He had His presence there among the people in Jerusalem. And once a year, with each one of these festivals, actually three times a year, the people, they were required to travel to this place. It was a pilgrimage, what they called a pilgrimage festival, where they traveled where they were and came there because it was important to the Lord. You know what they were? One of them was a Passover. That was one of those that was very important. Pentecost was the next one. And the next one is the Feast of Tabernacles. It's been said, Pentecost also was known as, when you're reading your Bible and you run across that term, the Feast of Weeks. That was Pentecost. How they got that was 7 weeks after Passover. After, what did I say? Did I say Passover? Pentecost, yes. Pentecost is a Feast of Weeks. Did I get that right? I hope I want you to understand it correctly. But Passover, when that was completed, they numbered 7 weeks until it came to Pentecost, which the days after, there would be 50 days. 49 plus the 50 days to Pentecost. And so those were two of the main feasts. But right now, the Jewish nation is celebrating Feast of Tabernacles. What's the Feast of Tabernacles? What does that mean? Well, it was something that the Lord instituted, and He wanted them to remember. When they had a number of things that it celebrated, and one of them was the fall harvest. At the end of the fall harvest was part of it. But that wasn't nearly all of it. That was something that the Lord also asked them to come to Him in this special time with offerings unto the Lord. He said, you don't come to me empty-handed. That was one of the terms that you find. Don't come before the Lord empty-handed. Come with praise and thanksgiving. Whatever the Lord has blessed you with, you bring that to the Lord and honor Him with the things that He has given you, with a portion of that. Whatever. And He said it's a free will thing. It's not something that He exacted, this amount is what you've got to do. But this was a free will. It was in your heart, the desire of your heart. You wanted to come before the Lord and tell Him, thank you, Lord, for the harvest that you've given us. I appreciate it, Lord. You've given us a bountiful harvest this fall, and I want to give you extra because of all the bounty, and I thank you, Lord. So that was the context of this free will offering during this Feast of Tabernacles. Well, the reason why it was called the Feast of Tabernacles was it was a commemoration. You remember what happened after the Passover? The children of Israel, the Lord said they were going to leave this place. I'm going to go out into a land that God was bringing them to, a land that would flow with milk and honey. He had a place that He wanted to take them to. But between Egypt and Canaan land, there was a vast desert. There was a wilderness, is what is called in the scripture. And they were going to have to travel from Egypt through around the Red Sea or through the Red Sea. The Lord took them through the Red Sea and over into the land of Canaan, over across the River Jordan. And as they passed through there, remember what happened in this space of time between Egypt. Egypt, when they left Egypt, when the Passover, when the Lord brought them with a mighty and a high hand out of the land of Egypt, that's a symbol of the Lord's deliverance. Not just to them, but that comes to us today. There's a Lamb of God that His blood is applied to our doorposts. There is a blood that still speaks better things than that of Abel's. Abel's blood was a righteous blood that laid on the ground, and there is a natural justice that must be called from the ground from Abel's blood. But Jesus' blood speaks of something more than just justice, crying out for vengeance. It does more. Jesus' blood cries out for mercy. And when the blood is applied to the doorposts of our hearts, oh, what a wonder. When the Lord comes, He says that He can come in and dwell within us. Oh, it's a wonderful story. Wonderful, wonderful symbolism there. But as they left Egypt, when the Lord delivered them from Egypt and they got ready to go, they traveled what should have been, I've heard different, maybe around within the week, they could have made it over to the land of Canaan. I don't know what the Lord's plan was. I don't know what His original desire for them to get into the land of Canaan was. But we know this much, that when they came over to the land of Canaan, when it was a time that the Lord was asking them to go over in there, they sent spies into the land. And the land was indeed a good land. They came back. They recognize that there is plenty over there. The Lord has blessed that land. And this is the land the Lord wants to take us to. But 10 spies came back. The majority, all but Caleb and Joshua, came back with a ill report. They said the land is indeed good. But there are giants there. There are so many impediments that we cannot live there. We are unable. In fact, they are so big and we are so small that we're grasshoppers. Comparing, and we see ourselves as grasshoppers. Folks, I want to tell you, God would have us not to see ourselves as so weak. When the Lord has a land He wants to take us to, we should not capitulate to the devil and all his discouraging ideas and say, I'm just a grasshopper. Because let the weak say I'm strong. It is an acknowledgement, it's a fact, that we can't take the land without the Lord. But with Him, we're well able. It's a devil's tactic to try to discourage us to the place that we're not even willing to go. We won't even risk our lives. And folks, there's something here. I like it when David's looking at that big giant that was defying the children of Israel and was keeping them from growing in their expanding of their land or their territory that they should own. There was a Philistine stood up there, a big man, a giant that stood before him. And David came, and remember his question to those that were in fear, huddled together, not knowing what. He said, is there not a cause? And folks, there's a cause bigger than us today. There's a cause that the Lord would like to take us to. There's a place of victory that the Lord would like to lead us to. And in this process, and I'm sorry I'm getting off a little bit with this booth idea, the booths, this tabernacles. It was also considered like tents that they lived with. At one point, I know sometimes they had tents they dwelt, they had, but sometimes they had, they took leaves and branches and had little booths out in the open that they stayed in. And this festival was held for, it said 7 days, but actually an eighth one was in there. Because there was there was a Sabbath at the beginning and a Sabbath at the ending. And these Sabbaths weren't ones that just ended up, you know, we call the seventh day of the week as a Sabbath. We call it Saturday, don't we? Seventh day was a Sabbath, but this Sabbath was different. This was, what was it, the 14th day of the month? I forget what month it was. But it correlates to the time frame we're in right now. But in that day of the month, maybe it was the 15th day, I forget. I've done a lot of reading and I can't tell you everything for sure. But it was in the middle part of that month that, and it wasn't necessarily a Saturday. It wasn't the seventh day. So it was an extra Sabbath that the Lord, He said, I want you, this is a holy convocation. You've heard that, remember that term? A holy convocation. The people would get together. There's a holiness unto the Lord. This was a time that you set aside your work. We came together. It was something the Lord asked them to make special effort to come together and thank God for what He's done. Not only give Him gifts that of the harvest, but also thank the Lord for His provision that He, folks, a lot of these festivals centered around acknowledging what God had provided. Whether it was a lamb, and folks, He has provided a lamb for us today. And we ought to, at least once a year, at the minimum, come and tell Him, thank you, Lord, for your lamb. I like it that we come and celebrate kind of a Passover type meal, remembering the Lord's Supper. That I think it's important. And in that framework, we should thank God with all our hearts for what He's done, what He has provided. I believe that Isaac would also agree with us because the Lord provided for him too. Remember the lamb or the ram that was caught in the thicket? Abram, his father, had said, when Isaac said, "What? Well, here's the wood. Where's the sacrifice?" And Abram said, "The Lord will provide." And I thank God today the Lord still provides. So these festivals were centered around the providence and what God provided for people. And today we remember it still. And the children of Israel, when they left and went from Egypt, the Lord took them out of there with a mighty hand. And they started moving across this territory. And they came to the place they should have been able to step over into the land of Canaan. But there was something hindered them. And what was it that hindered them? It was an evil heart of unbelief, was it not? They turned back. They withdrew through fear, through not accepting what God had said. Their faith had waned, had failed, and they come to a place that they weren't able to receive what God had really brought them to. And for the next, God, it said God was angry with them. And for the next 40 years, they wandered in the land, in the wilderness, dwelling in tents, dwelling in tabernacles, dwelling in booths. Temporary dwellings, that's where they were. And so this festival was intended for them to remember. There's a lot of things for them to remember. Two different things. You remember when they were dwelling out there in the desert time? There was thirst that they encountered, was there not? There was deep thirst. There was a place that they needed the Lord to provide again, and the Lord did. They got water from a rock. I want to tell you, if you're having trouble believing God and you see water start coming from a rock, you're going to say, this is my God. Your faith begins to elevate, does it not? This is Him. There's different things that the Lord did. He provided food that they gathered in the morning time. Manna. And it didn't fail. It kept coming. This is something different than what they must have experienced over there in the land of Egypt. It was different. Maybe the land was not that far apart, but here it was. There's manna here. There wasn't over there in Egypt. There was food that came from God Himself. My faith begins to rise now. The Lord is sustaining me. The Lord is getting, there's spiritual applications to this, dear ones. Today, When we walk with the Lord, there's a daily food. Give us this day our daily bread. There is not only, but look what we had to do. You know what they had to do? They had to get out. It just didn't come in their pot every morning. It was their job to get up and go get it. I want to tell us today that it's very good for us to set habits in our life, to get up and get your soul food. Lord, I'm hungry today. We're going to have, in this nation, it's hard to go hungry physically. But it's real easy to starve to death in your soul. You know why? Because there's so many other things that'll take my attention. So many other things that seem to be so important to me. But there's manna laying around. It's within my grasp. But many times I'm going about my daily duties and sometimes the manna spoils before I get a hold of it. I'm not willing to put that too hard on everybody, but I want to tell you, take care of your soul. Yes, amen. Spend some time seeking the Lord. Lord, I'm hungry inside here today. I feel, you know, I know some days you may get up and feel like everything's going well. I don't need anything, but be careful. Just as your body needs a breakfast, so does your soul. Or food. I'm not going to tell you but spend time feeding your soul. Go out and gather the manna. Get down on your knees and pray. Look in the Word of God. The Lord, this is a grace. This is a favor that the Lord has given us, that we might read His Word, that we might bring it into our mind and enjoy it. So in this festival of booths, in this festival of tabernacles, they remembered as they went out in across this desert time, and the Lord sustained them. The Lord gave them quail when they got tired of the manna. The Lord did many things. The Lord gave them when they had displeased the Lord, and the Lord sent viperous snakes among them. The Lord provided a way that they wouldn't even have to perish any longer with those snakes. There were things that the Lord provided the children of Israel out there. And this land, as they passed through that, there were times that the Lord met them. There was a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. These things are necessary guiding hands of the Lord. The Lord wants to provide for us in our life today. I would like to read over in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, and maybe I need to hurry along here because we want to get over into John also after a while. Leviticus 23, and I think I want to start here with maybe have to quickly read through some of this. The 33rd verse, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this is when the Lord instituted, or part of the account of the Lord instituting this for the children of Israel. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the feast of the tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. Don't labor for yourself in these days. In this day, it's a holy day unto the Lord. It's a time to set aside yourself and turn your minds toward the Lord. Folks, that's part of what we're doing here today. I know we have other duties. We have duties of life, but God wants us to set time aside. Lord, I've sat here with you, and it's important for us to come together, to share this together. We have this in common. I look at my brother and say, we're serving the Lord, and we can encourage one another. And Wednesday night prayer meeting, folks, it's a wonderful time when we empty from vessel to vessel. We have encouraging things that we share with each other, point each other to our Father in heaven. And it means something. We're encouraged. We're inspired. And I don't know, maybe you're not like me, but I want to tell you, I like those Wednesday prayer meetings when you get just kind of like you went by the gas station and got another fill up. It just feels good. And we need that, dear ones, especially in this day. In the world we live in today, when it seems like the devil is so abrasive to our very spirit. And we need the Lord to fill us up. Well, speak to the children of Israel, 15th day, Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord, 35th verse. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days shall ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation. That eighth day comes in another Sabbath at the end. The holy convocation unto you. And ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. And ye shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which he shall proclaim to be a holy convocation, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon this day, beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings, which ye give unto the Lord. Also in the 14th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. Again, he's describing this day, this time. And ye shall take you, and ye shall take you on the first day of the boughs of good trees. This is them building this booth for them to stay in for these 8 days. Willows, brooks, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall it shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate in the 7th month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. Then we'll get down to the 43rd verse. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So the Lord brought them to this place of dwelling in these booths, and he provided for them out there. It's not a very hospitable place to live when you're dwelling in the desert. I know some people might like the desert, but I want to tell you, I like water. I like to see green grass. I like to see plants growing. I like to see, this time of year, I like to see a good turnip patch and mustard greens. And I like to see that. I like to see a good fall garden. Granted, I don't have one right now, but I still like seeing it. I like a good pot of mustard. I like things growing. And the desert doesn't seem to be that. But all, when the Lord said he's able to make us to suck honey out of a flinty rock, oil, the Lord's able, in this land, this dry land we live in today, when the people around us in general are not seeking for the ways of the Lord, they're looking to supply their own needs. They're looking only to their selfish desires, willing to trample over their neighbors, willing to be first in line. All this me first attitude, and it's a dry place. It doesn't satisfy very long. But all when we put each other ahead and we lift up each other, then you become a unit. Then you become where the Lord can pour out his blessings. The Lord provides in that environment. He provides something for us. And so the Lord would have us today to be very careful with our lives and fashion our lives after him. John the 7th chapter. This was also the feast of the tabernacles when this chapter is written about. Quickly, I guess I'll try to read. After these things, Jesus walked. In the first verse of 7. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. This is up north and east of Jerusalem, where Jesus had walked up there. He probably lived perhaps around Peter in that area, the Sea of Galilee. Lived up there in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry. This simply means he was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew, so was Peter. But he didn't walk down there in Jerusalem in that area. Why? Because down there they had not liked what Jesus was saying, because it challenged their authority. It challenged not only their authority, but it challenged their spiritual condition. Jesus was calling into question they felt just because they were following the law. Lawyers had argued their points to the point, this is important, this is not important. And Jesus comes in and cuts through it all and says, the most important is to love God with all your heart. And love your fellow man like that. This is what Jesus taught them. And those people down around, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests, the Levites, those who were in charge down there, they didn't like what Jesus was teaching. It brought condemnation to them, and they didn't like it. And so they sought to kill him. And he wouldn't walk in Jewry. And I think of this for a little bit. Because the Jews sought to kill him. Well, he was Jesus, was he not? It wasn't hard for him to say, be blind and I'll walk right by you. He could have done all that. But folks, he's interested in winning the hearts of mankind. He's not interested in striking us with blindness. He's interested in opening our blind eyes. And that was a problem. Their eyes were blinded, not with cataracts of today, but spiritual cataracts that had grown across their eyes to where they were unwilling to see. And folks, there's not a person so blind as the one who closes his eyes against the light. That's the blindest a man can be, when you shut your eyes and refuse to see. And that's where these Sanhedrin, these people in Jewry, in this area. And again, Jesus wasn't against Jews. He was a Jew. None of us are against Jews either today. I hope we're all spiritual Jews today. I can't claim any Jewish blood in my... I'm a German, more than anything, probably. But that doesn't mean I can't claim I'm a spiritual Jew in Christ Jesus. God has provided. Anyway... Now the Jews' feast and tabernacle was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart, go down there, this big feast. Everybody's coming in. Go show yourself to them. If you're really doing these things, and you need to let people see what you're doing. That this is a place to advertise what you're doing. Oh, folks, Jesus never was one that called just attention to himself. And neither should we. We should call attention to our Lord. If any time you as a congregation or any leader in the congregation, I want to caution us, do not elevate a man. Do not. Don't let me be elevated. And don't you elevate me. We are all under the mighty hand of God. Folks, I cannot rightly lead you. I can be wrong. But when you're on your knees and the Lord comes and reveals himself to you, he's never wrong. Find the Lord yourself. Other than that, we are workers together with Him. We are that. We all have the place in the body of the Lord. But don't elevate a man. Jesus didn't speak of Himself, did He? He spoke that of the Father. And that's still what we strive for today. Lord, help us to do that. By our lives, by our mouth, by our actions, let's point people to Jesus. Don't allow them to fix their hearts on us because we don't have a heaven to take them to. Jesus does. God does. Brother said to him, go down there and show yourself. Advertise who you are. Fifth verse. For neither did the brethren believe in him. They must have had some doubts. Then Jesus said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify of it, that the works therein are evil. I point out the things that aren't right. And they don't like that. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not. And he wasn't going to go up right then, but he did later. Go ye not up yet unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not fully come. Then he had said, when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. His brothers went on up. And later on, 14th verse, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. He went to the temple. Went right among them. And he was found in the temple teaching. And the people marveled at what he was teaching. How does this man, who's his teacher? How does he know, not having been taught? Who did he learn? Was the feet of Gamaliel? Who's his teacher? How did he get this knowledge? I'm going to tell you, the Word of God doesn't need a teacher. The Word of God is all. It's sufficient. And Jesus was there sharing with them. And he said, 16th verse, My doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. I'm talking about the Lord. If any man will do his will, if you will seek to follow the Lord, if you'll hunt his will, if you'll honestly, as Simeon and Anna must have done, in the scripture, they sought the Lord, and the Lord revealed things personally to them. And when Jesus came as a babe, they recognized him as God's gift, as the deliverer. They recognized that. And he said, Jesus said, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or no, or whether I speak of myself. If you know the Lord, folks, this is one of the greatest defenses, greatest protections that we can have against false doctrine, things that aren't correct. The greatest protection we can have is know the author, to know the Lord. Have some time that you spend with Him, you get to know Him. Then when you hear something that's not quite right, you don't have to come out abrasively against it, but you can say, no, it doesn't quite blend with the spirit that the Lord has put in me. And there's a caution there. And Jesus said, if you follow the will of the Lord, you'll see this. You'll discern whether I speak of myself. So he pointed to what the Lord had done. The Lord had given Moses, had given anyway, I need to hurry on time. Propriety says I need to watch the clock too. The people answered 21st and said, thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Because Jesus had said that, why are you trying to kill me? Why do you seek my life? And Jesus answered and said to them, I have done one work, and y'all marvel. Do you remember what Jesus did to the man who had been brought to him? Now this is during the Feast of the Tabernacles. Their mind was on this, and they remembered a past experience where Jesus had taken a man on the Sabbath day. And you remember what? They brought him. I don't want to mix up two stories. But the man was crippled, laying there. I forget this. But the Lord told him to take up his bed and walk. You remember that? It was, they did carry him there, didn't they? Anyway, on the Sabbath day, Jesus had healed the man. And they said, you can't be, because you violated the law of Moses. You can't be, because this was a Sabbath day and you healed on the Sabbath day. That was a work that you did on the Sabbath day. And there was a man picking up sticks that we killed before, because, and you violated it to the point that you deserve death. Moses said, so you marvel because I've done this. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but because of fathers. It came down predating, but it was written in the law of Moses. And ye on the Sabbath day, you circumcise a man. You're willing to do that on the eighth day, as commanded by the law. You're willing to do that work on the Sabbath day, but you can't heal a man. I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said one of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaks boldly, and they're not taking him. Anyway, I want to hurry on down. I want to jump down now. Jesus had discourse with them and was providing knowledge that they would have been easily grasped if they had an honest heart. 36th verse, what manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and you won't be able to find me? Then we go on to the 37th verse, in that last day, that great day of the feast, that he was there at the feast, now came to the end, that last, the eighth day. And there was a time here on the eighth day that the children of Israel, when they were gathered there observing this, that it was a joyous time. There were sacrifices that they performed. And they went, the sacrifice, last sacrifice was laid upon the altar. And there was, the priest went and took a pitcher of water, dipped it in the pool of Siloam, and mixed it with the representative blood of the lamb, which was wine that mingled with it. And he poured it upon the sacrifice. And as he poured it upon the sacrifice, the children of Israel sang the song, Isaiah, the 12th chapter of Isaiah is what they sung. Someone have the 12th chapter of Isaiah real quick. I probably have it here if I can just turn to it quickly. Again, I've tried to cram too much and been too tedious into this morning's. But I want to read this chapter. It's not a long one. And in that day, so as this was being poured out, all this, and it brought great joy to the children of Israel when they remembered how the Lord had sustained them, how the Lord had brought them through the desert, how the Lord had brought them to this place. They were commemorating what all the Lord had done, had delivered them from the land of Egypt, and now had brought them into the land of Canaan. And they were living here in Jerusalem. They were living with their temple, with their God of heaven, communicating and helping them. And in that day, as a water, which many times actually was symbolized, was a symbol of the Holy Spirit, even the Old Testament and the New Testament. It was symbolism of that in the Old Testament. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. As people reflected on their own lives and recognized how the Lord had had mercy on them, they began to sing out these songs. As it was being poured upon that sacrifice, thou comfortest me. Thine anger is turned away. Thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. What a wonderful song for us yet to sing today unto our Lord. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, and declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath been excellent. He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. This is a prophecy that they sang. This is the joy that they sang to the Lord for his providence, for what he had done for them. And they remembered how the Lord had done by symbolizing these booths, these little dwellings that they had made, remembering all these 8 days. This was the camp meeting. This was the time that they came together and truly camped. And here it was now in this setting at this time, that 8th day, that great day of the feast, this day where they were celebrating this most beautiful time. Jesus stood up and cried, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. That cry still rings across our world. That cry is still there. If any man's thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, the scripture testified, prophesied of this day. The scripture prophesied about the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The scripture prophesied about this day that this one would come. This Christ child would come. This is him. And if you believe on him, as the scripture has pointed us toward, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Thank the Lord. Not only is there a blood of Jesus that's applied, but what is this water that flows from inside that Jesus is speaking of? Oh, there's a cleansing. There is a blood that's there. There is a blood that has made it so. A cleansing that the Lord, by the blood of Jesus Christ, comes and cleanses us and makes us a fit vessel for the Holy Spirit to come in. And it is said here that Jesus proclaimed this, and he said, the 39th verse says, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. The Lord, this, folks, the Lord wants to come and dwell within us, not only with the cleansing of the blood upon our life, but there should be an indwelling of his Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke of this day, a time when the Lord, not only his word, but his Spirit might dwell within our very hearts and come out of us, flowing out of us. It stands as a barrier between us and the things of the world. It says, that seed of God is within me, and I don't want to do what I used to do. I'm not like that any longer. Today, dear ones, God wants his Spirit to be so full and so dwelling, so real within our hearts, that there flows out of us this this power and authority. God has provided something for you and I. It's not just a booth anymore. There's living waters. There's a flow. There's a pool of shalom. There is a place that the Lord has cleansing power. There is something that He brings to you and I that separates us from the things of the devil's kingdom. We're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. We're no longer that old man. And God would have us today not to identify with the old man any longer. We don't need to, because we've been bought with a price. We have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus and have been brought to this place. Oh, I don't know how much they understood back then. We are benefited by hindsight. They were living in a time when Jesus was saying this, what does this mean tomorrow? But at the time of this writing, I see this put in parentheses. This was a bracketed phrase here. But this, spake He of the Spirit. I don't know when He spoke that, whether they understood that. They likely didn't understand when He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But later on, John, the writer of this book, he was there on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit was poured out on mankind, on humans, made clean by the blood of the Lamb. And the Holy Spirit came in and indwelled them and empowered them and inspired them and led them from there. And the Lord wants to do that the day of Pentecost. So that was a physical day that we can point back to, but the day still lingers on. It is still our day. There is a day today that the Lord have to offer. He offers you and I this well of water springing up within our very heart. This place of dwelling. He said, I and my will come and will dwell within you. And out of our very bosom, out of our very thinking, out of our very heart, the passions that we have in life now are transformed into the image of His dear Son, you see. Lord, have us not be the old man that we used to be. Because the Lord loves and changes people. And He has provided so that we no longer have to be a slave to the old man. And Jesus, as it's being poured out, stood up and proclaimed to the people, if any man is thirsty... And it's not that they all needed to drink that day. That's not what He was talking about. He was talking about the hunger of a soul of mankind. If you're thirsty, and today, oh, let the ringing of His voice echo throughout the centuries and come down to you and I today and speak to our hearts and says, and as we assess ourselves before the Lord, am I hungry in my soul today? I want to tell you, Jesus says to us, if any man's hungry, if we're thirsty, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. There is yet today, God has provided for you and I a good meal in Christ, a good fountain in Christ and through Christ. There is a fountain open, not only a fountain of blood, but forthwith came forth what? Blood and water. These were for the cleansing. These are for the work of God in our life. And I want to tell you today, God is interested today that His Holy Spirit would indwell us. It's not going to make you act crazy. It's going to make you act right. It will. It's a calm, right, true spirit. And I'll confess to you that it will sometimes make you be very happy. And that's okay. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But it won't make you act crazy. It will make you act right. And it'll make you act holy. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Can you make a law against love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness? What law can you make against that? It's not. It's absolutely right. And the Lord would come, and today, He says, if you're hungry in your soul, if you're thirsty down there, If you don't feel satisfied, there is a fountain today. There is something that the Lord Himself has provided for you and I that will satisfy our soul. And I want to encourage us today, as we go through life, perhaps this morning, you have a need, you can bring it to the Lord and the Lord will meet you here. And if later on as you go down through life and you come to places that you just feel dried up inside and I'm thirsty, let the words of our Lord come. He said, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. Folks, when we walk with the Lord, we go through times sometimes that we go through desert places. And we feel like we're just camping in an area that doesn't feel like the promised land. I want to tell you, the Lord has a sustaining power for you and I. He wants to feed our soul. And He wants to pour out His blessing, His drink upon our parched souls. So if we ever, I don't care, is living for the Lord, if we're not, if we're even, if we're, especially if you're outside of God's mercy today, not His mercy, but if you're not saved today, I can tell you that the Lord, the God of heaven, is interested in feeding dry, hungry souls. Satisfying people with a bread and a fountain of life that we might be satisfied today. I want to serve Him. Not only do I want to serve Him, but I want to feel His presence. I want to feel His strength coursing through my soul. I want to be His child today. I want to encourage you today, if there's some place that perhaps you feel a need, ask the Lord to supply that. Because the Lord today is still the same. And He is able to pour out upon whosoever will. If you're thirsty, He's got that satisfying portion. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.